Good morning to everybody. We're glad you're here this morning and that you have joined us for worship. And if you are visiting with us, we welcome you and we hope you will come back and be with us again. As you can see, if you're visiting with us, once or twice a year, they dig out the old pastor and remove the mothballs from him and let him come and preach. So here I am, and fortunately for you, you'll get to hear the younger pastors again starting next week. This morning is the first Sunday of Advent, and Advent is the period of four Sundays and weeks before Christmas. Advent means in the Latin, the coming. And it refers to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into our world, as we have sung about this morning and talked about from the various scriptures. Here at Center Point Church, we will use the days and the weeks of Advent to prepare and remember the real meaning of Christmas. And the real meaning, my friends, is not all about the presents. It's not about Santa Claus. It is not about all of the things you can go out and buy and spend money on. That really has nothing at all to do with what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about the birth of our Savior and Lord. And today, the first Sunday of Advent, as we have just seen on the screen, we're reminded of hope. The hope candle was lit there on the screen. It is sometimes called the prophecy candle because it's in remembrance of the Old Testament prophets who predicted the coming and the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, especially Isaiah, who foretold the birth of Christ, as written in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, at verses 6 and 7, we read these words: "For a child is born to us, and a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen." And so when we think about Christmas and we think about the Advent, the coming of our Lord, we're reminded that people back during the Old Testament era that we read about, they were filled with hope, hope for the coming of a Messiah, of our Savior and Lord. I want to ask you a question and just see how much you remember, those of you who are adults. Do you remember when, as a child, you got all excited about Christmas and you hoped that you would receive a certain toy or a certain gift? You might have hoped for a new doll or a new bicycle, or in my case, a G.I. Joe toy soldier. You might have hoped for a dollhouse or a horse. Our hope grew greater and greater as time passed because you couldn't hardly wait until Christmas Day when you looked under the Christmas tree to see what had been given to you. And so that hope grew and grew. We could hardly wait for those days. I'm sure all of you have children at home or grandchildren perhaps that come to visit. And you know the hope and the anticipation that comes with that Christmas or the Christmas season. Now, having said all that, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you saw on television during the week this week about a young man by the name of Jonathan Jones. Jonathan Jones is colorblind. And all that he could see out of his eyes were very dark colors. Nothing in red or green or yellow or blue. Everything that he looked at and could see was black and white. And so he hoped and longed for the day that perhaps he would be able to see various objects and various things on the wall and the sky, the blue sky, and all the things that could bring color into his life. And that's what he hoped for. Well, this last week, his color, the color to his eyes, was restored in a very special way. And so watch this video as we see his eyes restored to color through a pair of glasses.
Okay, they're all yours. Let's see what it does. Look, people. Awesome. Hey, come here. Come here, dude. Oh, I'm so happy for you. Oh. Mom, you better get in there, too. That is so awesome. I told you it's going to be a little emotional. Hey, now that just tells you how beautiful of a world you have. God and I got to see it for the first time, right? So be happy. Be appreciative of it. All right? That is so cool.
John, I touched them.
Don't you want to touch them? I wanted to touch every color, right? Go ahead. You can touch them.
John, look at the painting, John.
I look at the painting. John.
No, John.
No, John, right through the eye. Oh. Take them off and see what you did.
Isn't that cool? Huh?
Through the wearing of those glasses, Jonathan was able to see color for the very first time, something he had hoped would happen in his life. Now, this is a very heartwarming story of this 12-year-old boy who hoped to see color someday, and now he has. So how can we have hope when everything around us, perhaps, or everything we see on the news, or even situations in our own lives, with our own jobs, or with families, or friends, seems hopeless? In the midst of a lost world, a world that is totally lost in sin, God took on human flesh, and he entered into our world to bring us hope. And so for a few moments this morning, I want to share with you three reasons for our hope in Christ. And there on the front of your bulletin, you found the words from Romans 3:3-5. And it says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So let's talk about hope for just a moment. What does hope mean for us? Well, may I point out, first of all, that hope brings us to the place that we can rely on God's presence. There in the reading from Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, Isaiah calls the hope that we find a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we also, in our own lives, call Him Jesus as we rely on God's presence with us. Now, the name Jesus was not an uncommon name back in the time that Jesus was born. It's the Hebrew, and by the way, thank you, Nate Hoff, for helping me with this. It's the Hebrew Yeshua, and it means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. You see, you can't even say the name Jesus without saying God is all about salvation. Our problem in the world is sin. You know that. We're aware of that fact. And yet, our solution is Jesus, and He brings salvation to us. The Bible says, "You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." Matthew 1 and 21. That's interesting. The word save means to rescue. The one who has been sent to rescue us from our sins. It means to deliver, to rescue, or to save. We say a lot of things about Christmas, but as the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my friends, we must insist upon the words, Jesus saves. That is the whole reason for Christmas. Again, it's not all the fluff, and it's not all the lights, it's not all the toys, it's not all the things that the world around us is talking about. What we're talking about and looking at very clearly is that Jesus saves. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10 and 13. It doesn't say you have to know everything that the Bible teaches. It does not say that you have to be a member of a particular church or that you have to be a baptized believer of some sort. It doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say you even have to be an American. It doesn't say you have to be white or black. The Bible says very clearly, everyone, man, woman, young or old, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And my friends, that is what Christmas is about. The coming of God in the flesh. This is why we celebrate Christ with us, the hope of glory. We can rely on God's presence with us during the Christmas season. But secondly, let me point out to you that we can also rely on God's provision. And again, I share with you the scripture. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, folks, that's personal. That's personal. That's bringing salvation to us. It becomes very personal in our lives right at that moment in time. God didn't send just a prophet or a priest. He didn't send a pastor. He didn't send one of the elders. God sent His own Son. God is with us. Here's the real power of Christmas. Here is God's provision for us. God has come into our lives in order to solve our biggest problem. And our biggest problem is not the economy. Our biggest problem, my friend, is not global terrorism, nor is it the weather. Our biggest problem is sin. And God is very serious about it, to the point that God has come and intervened in the history of the world by allowing His Son to come, who demonstrates His love for us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ has died for us. That's the message of Christmas. That's what the Bible says. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God had to come and deal with the sin problem, because the problem of sin in your life and the problem of sin in my life is a terrible thing. And as we look at all the people in the world, and perhaps even some of us here today who are stuck in sin and we simply can't find a way out. Maybe we're stuck in the area of alcoholism, or maybe drug abuse, or maybe sins of lying or cheating or stealing, maybe sins of gossip or hatred. Maybe it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, whatever the sin might be. God has come to deal with it in His own way. God got personal on the first Christmas. Jesus is God in person dealing with the problem of sin. And my friends, that's what Christmas is all about. In fact, here's what life is all about: that we may know Him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. It is extremely personal. Christmas, and ultimately our life itself, comes down to this: relying on God's provision for our sin. And that provision was Jesus going to that cross and dying for us personally and shedding His life's blood for us, that if we trust in that great sacrifice, that we would be saved, that we would be born again. And that's what Christmas is about. As a result of Christmas, believers can know God because Jesus is God with us. But then thirdly, we can rely on God's power. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Now, this, my friends, is the reason why the followers of Jesus will do greater works. The mission of Jesus is to continue through His disciples. And this required Jesus' departure from the world as we know it today. But the Lord's departure would result in the Holy Spirit's arrival, the promised power. And after the Lord Jesus was glorified through His crucifixion, His resurrection, and His ascension, He would send the Holy Spirit to abide in every believer. And that, my friends, is the power of God, the power that works and lives within each and every one of us. This is the reason we can live and minister with great expectations, because the Holy Spirit lives in us and guides us and directs our lives. We have a special partner who lives in us to help us know the truth and to live obediently, and to resist temptation, and to endure hardship, and do great things to the glory of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can rely on God's power of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day walk with Jesus. So, my friends, I would say to you on this first Sunday of Advent, remember that hope, the hope found in the Lord Jesus Christ, reminds us of His presence, of His provision and of His power to walk daily with our Lord. I recently was listening to some people talk, and they were talking about their college age student or child who was no longer walking with the Lord. He had been brought up in the things of God, in the Word of God. He had received Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, but then he got into college and he turned away from God and began walking a total different direction altogether. And it's sad to say that many young people, as well as adults, they give up sometimes. They find that life is too hard. They find that following our Lord Jesus Christ is too difficult. That carrying the cross is too heavy a burden. They see no hope whatever for their lives, and so they quit walking with God. And as a result, they go another way. But you know, at some point in time, for all of those who are true believers in Christ, they will come back to the Lord. They will come back into fellowship with Him. The power of God will begin to work again within them. And sometimes we need to work really, really hard at bringing them back into fellowship with God. But it's only God working through us to them that we can bring them back, through the power and the direction and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I recently saw another video that I want to share with you. It's about a young man by the name of Woody Belfort. And Woody has no use of his legs whatsoever. He is in a wheelchair all the time. He cannot walk. He cannot move around in any form or fashion without the use of his wheelchair. But he decided, because of hope, that he was going to make his upper body as strong as it possibly could be. And so he began working out daily, working out, working out, working out. And then one day he was challenged by some friends. You know what, Woody, we want to see you climb one of these rock walls. We want to see you go up that wall. Woody thought about it, and he thought, how can I possibly go up one of those walls? Because I'm not able to put my feet down and my foot on any of those rocks to hold myself as I go up. But he had hope and confidence that he could do it. So I want you to look at this video now. Watch what happens in the life of Woody Belfort. With the strength of his upper body, he was able to move up and forward. He believed, he had hope that he could do it, and he did it. I would remind you what we read again in Romans 5, 3 and 4. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. I love being around optimistic people like this kid right here. People that are very optimistic, because I'm a glass half full kind of guy. And I love when people can see the silver lining in the midst of the situations that they find themselves in. And despite the circumstances or the obstacles they face. But the more I know people, the more I realize that this characteristic is a precious commodity. It's the desire to do the very best you can with the power of God in your life. Paul reminds us as Christians that we can rejoice in the midst of any circumstance that we might find ourselves in. Any circumstance, because of where our hope is placed. My friends, hope is the highway that gets our faith from a point A to a point B. Not only that, it is indeed that our hope is what keeps us moving and rejoicing through whatever circumstances we may face in our lives and whatever may come our way. So how do we have hope to see our faith realized? How can we do that? We have hope when our faith is firmly resting in Jesus. Then it doesn't matter when suffering or persecution comes our way, because hope lets us rejoice in the midst of it. James, in one of his chapters, writes these words: "Consider it pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." James 1, 2 and 3. So both Paul and James knew that a byproduct of suffering at the hand of this world was perseverance. But the Bible interprets perseverance or preservation as patience in the Word of God. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit and necessary for Christians. Unlike the world's definition of patience, it is not a passive word, but rather a strong, active word. The heart of patience denotes endurance, consistency, and persevering no matter what happens. Patience allows our hopes to mature. So I would remind you this morning that with hope, we can move forward with God's presence. With hope, we can understand and claim the provision that God has made for us through Jesus Christ. And with hope, we can know the power of God to work within us.